Merry Christmas. This morning's message is going to be a little different, as we take a few minutes this morning to meditate on our gospel lesson from John chapter 1 and what it means for us even today as God's people. So throughout the meditation, I would encourage you to either close your eyes and step into the images you hear, or focus on a particular point in the sanctuary as you listen, whether it's the altar or the windows or whatever first draws your attention. In the name of Jesus, born to dwell with us, amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is it. Can you see it? Perhaps it's difficult to tell. Let's take a look at our surroundings. A lowly mother and father standing in a stable. Donkeys, sheep, and oxen looking over their shoulders. Shepherds off to the side, bewildered and terrified, yet joyful. And a baby wrapped in linen cloths, lying in a manger. Surely not. This cannot be it. And yet, it is. This is it. This is how it's always been, God desiring to dwell with his people. With what loving care did God form man from the dust of the earth and woman from man? With what fellowship did he walk with them, talk with them, dwell with them? And what sadness we feel when we hear once more of that fruit and the sin that separated us from our God, that flaming sword twisting to and fro in the darkness. That sin and its ugly consequences appear as we turn each page of God's word, yet not without God's grace and promise to dwell with his people. We see this as Moses and the Israelites march out of Egypt and the mighty waters are torn in two, God leading the way and dwelling by a pillar of cloud by day, fire by night. We see this even in the midst of the rebellion, the grumbling, and the faithlessness of God's people on the very brink of the promised land. As Moses cries in Exodus chapter 34, "Is it not in your going with us that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" God dwells in the tabernacle, dwelling even amid the separation of the curtain. God dwells in the temple of Jerusalem, where the psalmists sing his praises. "O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving." And even in this ugliness of sin and death, where we long for God to dwell with us, for his gracious word of forgiveness and grace, David's cry of repentance becomes our own. "Cast me not away from your presence." A word exiled from the garden. And yet God would have the final word, the word made flesh. This is how it's always been, and this is it. It's unexpected. It's unique. It's downright scandalous, to be sure. But this is it. God of gods and Lord of lords, made flesh, born as the most vulnerable of creatures. The sinless Son of God, through whom creation came into existence, is born to dwell with sinners, to dwell with us. God with us, Emmanuel. God comes to dwell. God comes to die. And through his death, the curtain is torn in two, the flaming sword extinguished, paradise restored. It is finished. This God splits waters. He sends plagues, performs miracles, judges creation, governs heaven and earth, wields all power, glory, and might. Yet it is in death, in weakness, in flesh, that we see God's fullest power, his most earnest desire to dwell with us. His birth, his cross, his empty tomb, they show us our God's heart from the very beginning. It's a heart that longs for sinners, a heart that longs to forgive, to save, to dwell. God comes to dwell with us always. And the book of Hebrews tells us that we can now draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God dwells in us. He dwells for us. He dwells in us for others. For as God dwells with us, so we dwell with others. This is the Christian way. You see, Christmas for us is not a day. It's not even a season. It's a life. It's a life dwelling with others, listening, encouraging, bearing, meeting, supporting, sacrificing. Whether it's our spouse, our children, our neighbors, our coworkers, absolute strangers, those we cannot stand, those who continue to feel that fiery sword of separation. As Christ humbled himself, so we humble ourselves. As Christ took on our weaknesses, so we bear one another's. Think of one person in your life who you can dwell alongside today. What is one way you can dwell alongside them more today and this coming year? This is how it's always been. This is how it is, and this is how it will always be. For our Lord promises to come again, to advent among us, to bring about a new heaven and a new earth. And here we see God's heart at the very end of God's story in Revelation. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. God dwells with man. so that man might dwell with God always. He walks alongside us, and he walks before. He cries with us, and he wipes our tears away. He dies and defeats death for our sake. He walks with us, and he walks ahead of us, paving the way for our eternal dwelling. And we dwell alongside others, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice, bearing one another's burdens, and pointing them to Emmanuel. This is the Christian life. This is the Christian hope. This is the heartbeat of Scripture. This is how it's always been. This is how it is. This is how it will always be. And it's all for you. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Merry Christmas, St. Lawrence. Amen.